The most important thing that you can ever do is be with God in heaven. There is nothing else that compares to that. There are all kinds of endeavors that people try to go through and things they want to leave behind, things they want to make sure of, they want to plan their will, they want to retire, they want to buy this, they want to do that, they have bucket list items, all of these things. None of them come even close to being with God in heaven. And as one man said, if you miss heaven, you miss everything there is. So I want to talk about anticipating, entering in. Can you taste it? Imagine the Lord has already appeared. How did you do? It's too late. Once he appears in the sky and he comes back in the clouds, it is too late for you to change your mind. It is too late for you to get busy doing what you need to do. It is too late to surrender your will to his. If he came back 5 minutes ago, how did you do? I don't mean to imply that you have to do a lot to earn anything, because we can't earn it. Heaven is worth way more than any amount of deeds that we can do. But did you submit to him? Did you meet his conditions of grace? Either he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Or he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What are you going to hear? And if that's not good, then you need to change that. I beg you, I implore you to do something about that this morning. Do not leave here not having your salvation sure and knowing that you're anticipating seeing the Lord. And when I think about anticipating, when I said a moment ago, can you taste it? Do you wait as a child who can't wait for the Father? It's one of the most precious sights I have in my memory. Coming home from work, and the kids are already outside, and they're banging on the window. And I learned, okay, it's not a good idea to be on the phone dealing with something from work whenever I pull in the driveway, get that done, because they're ready for me to get out of the vehicle and they're going to swarm me with all of this love and attention. Those are very precious moments and memories, but that's the way you and I need to be anticipating our Lord coming back. Our Father is here, and His Son is here to bring us home. We have finally get to be with Him forever in its fullness. That's what we need to be anticipating. Not as some who might be wishing, "Oh no, I wasn't ready." Because then it's too late. Just like those in the ark were ready, everyone outside of that ark, it was too late. What were they doing? They were marrying, given in marriage. They were eating, they were drinking, doing everything people normally do. You got to eat. Getting married is important. Planning a wedding is important. Doing things like that is important. But if you do all of that, at that time, if you lived in the time of the flood, you could have prepared all that. You had a perfect wedding planned. And then the rain comes and you're not in that ark. It's too late. Make sure you have met the Lord's requirement. As the song says, "Heaven holds all to me." It should. You need to embrace that notion that it means everything to you. And you need to live in such a way that you reflect that sentiment. And don't let anything get in the way. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 24 it says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?" I wonder why they asked that question. are there few saved? They must have gotten the impression somehow, listening to Jesus, hearing what he said, and then observing people and realizing, okay, here's what he said, but maybe there aren't very many people doing actually what he said. So they ask the question, are there few saved? He said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive. Make it your most important thing to be in heaven. And do it like you mean it. There's nothing as important as that. Galatians 5 and verse 19 tells us there are some things, though, that can keep us. And whatever that is, we just get that out of our life. Eradicate that out of our life so that it doesn't prevent us. It says in Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't get to make up those rules. And I wouldn't be your friend if I didn't repeat the warnings that God is telling us. These enter in to his house, enter into his kingdom. These do not. I would not love you if I told you, you can keep doing those things, don't change a thing, and you can go to heaven anyway. That would do you absolutely no favors. How much would I have to hate you and despise your soul to not warn that these things will keep you from heaven? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10 is similar. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot inherit the kingdom of God while persisting in these things. Before the passage that was read a moment ago, it said, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now I could look at that and I could say, I don't like that. But if I align myself to his will and try to understand why he said that, then I can appreciate that he's not going to allow anything to threaten us when we're in heaven. There's not going to be anything to take away and rob and hurt and to steal our joy in heaven. I don't have to worry about all the things I have to worry about here. You won't need a security system in heaven. You don't need an alarm system. You don't have to worry about somebody breaking in, taking your stuff, or harming you or your children. You don't have to worry about that in heaven. You don't have to carry protection to make sure that you protect your family. There's no concerns about that because God will protect us. He won't allow anything that will harm to enter in. Do you realize nothing has harmed this world more than lying? Some people think that's just like a little thing. Little white lies is what they might refer to. Fibs. You know, tall tales. It's the way. Isn't that the way Satan loves to take something so damaging and minimize it and make it as if it's not that big of a deal? That's what he did in the garden. He told Eve, you will not surely die. They did. We will.
because of that lie. That lie has caused, every time somebody dies, every time you lose somebody that you love, every time, you need to think, a lie caused that, because we don't have the right to the tree of life on this earth anymore. How damaging was that one lie? Every loss, every hurt, every disease, every pain in this life originated because of that one lie. When God says, don't do something, we need to learn. There's a reason why he says that, because he loves us. Just like a parent who doesn't want their kids to touch the stove or play with fire or play in the road. It's not because they don't love them. Because they want to protect them. If you don't tell the truth, you need to stop that. Because it's going to keep you from heaven. Liars don't enter heaven. Every liar will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Tell the truth. God tells the truth. He doesn't lie. If you lie, you're of your father, the devil. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. You don't have to worry about someone taking your stuff. You don't have to worry about inflation in heaven. You don't have to worry about the stock market dropping, your 401k, your retirement plan, or whatever it is that people worry about. You don't have to worry about insuring things for loss and natural disasters. Heaven is a treasure that does not diminish or can be taken away. Lay up treasures in heaven. And make sure that is the greatest currency that you can think of. It doesn't get devalued. Love the truth if you want to go to heaven. Because the truth is what's going to make you free. You're sanctified by the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You need to love and embrace Christ's word so much that when you read something and you say, this is kind of a hard command here, you need to love it. Because those words are the words of the Lord. Those words are the words of life. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. We need to recognize that there are some people that may call themselves religious. There are people who have an appearance of righteousness on the outside. But they are not the standard by which we follow. And so he said in Matthew 5 and verse 20, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." There's something there about what they did that you need to not imitate if you want to enter heaven. One of the things that they did is they said, but they did not. In Matthew 7, verse 21, he says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." There are all kinds of people today who say, "I love the Lord." There are all kinds of people today who say, "I'm going to heaven." Jesus said to some in his day, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." You realize there are a lot of people who are going to be surprised on the judgment day who think they're going to heaven. They're telling themselves, "I'm okay," when I'm really not. Saying the words, claiming it, doesn't mean that the Lord is pleased with you necessarily. Make sure you're being genuine about that. You know,
even though we're saying some things that'll keep you out of heaven, these things were not meant to say you can't enter heaven. It's not saying it's impossible to go to heaven. It's not saying you have to do great tasks in order to go to heaven. Really, the things that the Lord requires is not too hard. It might be harder for a rich man to enter heaven, not because it's hard, but it's hard for him because he's misplaced his priorities. He's valued one thing above another. It's not hard in one way. And when you think about his commandments, there are some things that some people say are hard commandments, but if you really appreciate the Lord, his commandments are not grievous. Is he asking something that is unreasonable? Think of any command that the Lord has given us. Is it really something that it's just, you have to be very talented in order to do it, or you have to go through create some big feat in order to do it? There are all kinds of people who do all kinds of other things, accomplish all kinds of other great feats. Why? Because they care about those things. And the Lord's not even requiring those kinds of things in order to go to heaven. Here's what he says, though. Matthew 18 and verse 3, if you want to go to heaven. He said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Become converted. Change. Humble yourself like as a child. Be like them. That requires a letting go of myself and my pride if I want to enter heaven. God resists the proud. I need to let go of my pride if I want to go to heaven. You know why? Because I have to acknowledge I need him. One of the very first things Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why did he start there? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Someone who realizes I am spiritually bankrupt without him. There's no pretending to be something that I'm not before God. There's no coming before him in some kind of facade or act like acting like I'm better than I really am. No, I have to acknowledge that I am lost without him. That I need him. It's not the other way around. I need to surrender my will, and I need to submit to him and his plan in order to go to heaven. If I try to do it my way and I try to lift my own self up in my own way, and I think I'm something when I'm not, it's going to be hard to teach me. It's hard to teach somebody who thinks they're something when they're not. It's hard to help somebody see what they need if they don't think they need anything. What the Lord is requiring of me is to come before him recognizing that I am destitute without him. No matter how many material things I have nothing. I am poor, I am needy without him. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, beginning. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What does that mean? Got to hate your father, hate your mother? It's Father's Day. Were you supposed to be hating your father on Father's Day? This doesn't just apply on one day of the week or the year. It's all the time. Why does he say hate your father? He doesn't mean despise. It is kind of a radical. It forces you to think about what he's saying and chew on it, doesn't it? I think some statements have that effect that Jesus had. Really, what he's saying is,
the Lord has to come first. Above your family. Now, with some people, I love you, Lord. But if it means something different with my family, they tend to go with their family. How many people have you known they will follow what the Lord says, then if it causes a friction with a family member, then they make their choice. The Lord is asking us to choose that. Even if my family is not with me in their heart, I'd have to make my choice that I'm going to follow him regardless, no matter what that means. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He's not talking about jewelry. He's not talking about those kinds of, or he's not talking about decorations in your house. Taking up your cross to Jesus meant he went to his death. For you to take up your cross means you need to go with him and be faithful unto death, even if that's what that means. You live for him at all costs. Verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he had laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All the beholder began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Some people kind of want to go with the Lord until it requires that one thing. Well, if I have to give this thing up, or if I have to do this, well, then forget it. And you know, those things and those times are what really determine whether or not you're really willing to surrender to him. Because if you was only willing to obey God as long as it didn't cost you any of those things, and you do everything God says except for these things, these few things that are hard for you, then were you ever really, truly obedient to him? Some people love themselves and their things and their pursuits and things they enjoy too much. And I do not believe that the Lord is saying in order to go to heaven, you have to give up all happiness. I don't believe that's what he's saying. I don't believe he's saying you can't ever have fun if you want to go to heaven. I don't believe he's saying that you can't ever smile and enjoy life. But whatever it is that gives you those things, if it's something that God says you can't do and go to heaven, is that moment of joy that and enjoyment that that thing gives you, is it worth it? An eternity? Then I guess you better enjoy it now, because that's about all you get, maybe. Maybe. Because it could also be taken in this life. But if you had to give up something that you really enjoyed, and you really didn't see it as all that bad, but if the scripture says you can't and go to heaven, would it be worth it? James 4 and verse 4 says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Take that to heart. God is asking you, him of the world. When the scripture says God is a jealous God, that's not a bad thing. There is a thing called godly jealousy. A spouse has the right to have a godly jealousy about their spouse. That's their spouse. Doesn't belong to anybody else. They should feel that way. Not to be shared. Some things belong that way. Needs to be protected and guarded. God does not want to share you and your devotion to anything else. It becomes an idol. He doesn't want to share you with some imaginary God that doesn't even exist. He doesn't want to share you with your stuff and your money and your pursuits. Flee idolatry. But ultimately, what the Lord requires, what does the Lord require of you? But to love mercy, to do justice, to walk humbly with your God. It's not rocket science. It's not something that God is saying, something you have to do incredibly. It doesn't take a great amount of knowledge or wits, education, no matter who you are, where you're from. It doesn't take all of those things. What does God want? He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your devotion. He wants your love. Is that too much to ask that that's what He wants? Don't we want that in a relationship? Don't we want someone to care about us and to love us? To treat us the way we ought to be treated? But there is none greater than our Lord. Don't refuse to listen to Him. Don't ignore Him. Spend time with Him. Love Him. Repent. Turn from your ways. If you believe in all that the Lord is and what He's done for you, you should be willing to do that. Don't be stubborn. Whatever it is that you need to remove out of your life, just remove it. Start today. Ask the Lord to help you removing that out of your life. If you've never become a child of God, you want to go to heaven. He says, confess that Jesus is Lord. Is that hard? Is that too embarrassing for you to admit before someone else? You know the one that a lot of people get offended at, and the one that a lot of people don't want to follow? Or they're all right if you say that you're a Christian as long as you don't take it as far as what He actually said and do all of those things that He said, literally. No. Follow Him. Confess. You believe Him. You believe His words. You believe everything about Him that the Scriptures teach. Be baptized. Is that hard? Is it really hard to allow yourself? Maybe it's embarrassing to you. Even if that's embarrassing to you, think about the embarrassment He went through to go on the cross. As they beat Him like a criminal. Is it too much to ask that you are baptized in water? It might seem like a ridiculous command, but it's what He said. If you're buried with Him, you'll be raised with Him. That's not that hard to do. But you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. All sins will be forgiven. And you'll have a clean conscience. And then try your best to walk in the light and remain faithful. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 23, Jesus looked round about and said unto His disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at His words. But Jesus answereth again and said to them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter in the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? If you've heard any of the things that I've quoted that Jesus said, and you're thinking, this seems like this is too hard, listen to this next part. Verse 27, Jesus looking upon them said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You know how possible I believe it is? Because I've seen many a people change from some very wicked things. I've seen people change from addictions. I've seen people change from being an angry person. I've seen people change from being so selfish and self-centered to now caring and being involved in the Lord's work. I have seen the gospel change people's lives upside down, and they are productive people now. People you want to be around now. Back to the verse that was said in the beginning. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. That they may enter into through the gates into the city. You may. If you do his commandments. Won't you do that? Any way we can help you. Come while we stand and as we sing.